We're starting a new series today. I told you about that last week. It's called Out of Egypt. And Ted, you can put that slide on there. So if you look at the statement on the screen there for a second, and then take a moment to fill in the blank after from. I wish I could be set free from. Fill in the blank. Because here's the thing. I think that all of us have a little something that we'd like to fill in that blank. It might be a habit. Might be a fear. Might be something to do with my health. Might be a secret that I've been carrying around for a very long time. Whatever it is that we put into that blank, the thing about that is this, we all know how debilitating that which I filled in into that blank can be in my life. I wish I could be set free from that. So for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to speak with you about being set free, getting out of Egypt. How do we get rid of these things that we put in that blank that hold our lives hostage or put us in bondage or steal away our freedom? Because Paul reminds us, right, in Galatians chapter 5, and it'll be there on the screen too. Paul says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." It's second slide, Ted. What is our freedom? It is for freedom that we have been set free, says Paul. So don't let yourselves be put under this yoke of slavery. Don't let yourselves be put under the yoke of that which you put in that blank after from. To help us with that, we're going to walk through the book of Exodus. Now, Exodus has way too many chapters. I'll be keeping you busy for a whole year if I do all of them. So I'm just going to choose one or two or three of those for the next 4 weeks and walk through this book, speaking of how God walks with his people from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land. And as we read the story of what God does for his people, here's the cool thing. The book of Exodus is only a preview, a small glimpse of what Jesus can do for you and me and what Jesus does for us. Because the story of the Exodus is Israel's story, but it's our story too. It's your story. And it's my story. It's God's story of getting us out of Egypt one step at a time. So I'm going to take you to Exodus chapter 1. But before we get there, let me give you a little background of how we got there. So there was this man, Abraham. You remember him. God called him and God said, "I want to bless you, but through you I want to bless all the people of this earth." Abraham had a son called Isaac. Isaac had a son called Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. They became the 12 tribes. 12 sons were not so happy with everyone because there's one specific one that was wearing this fancy coat. And no, it wasn't a coat with multicolors. That's not true. He had this fancy coat that he wore. And they got ticked off at him. And what did they do with him? They sold him as a slave to Egypt. So he landed in Egypt. Instead of being a slave, he was actually elevated to one of the highest positions. Then there came famine all over the earth. But the only place that didn't struggle with famine was Egypt. Why? Because of the dreams. And then Joseph told them about what the dreams meant. And they had all enough food for everyone. So his brothers, not knowing that Joseph was in this position, came to Egypt. Joseph revealed himself to them. He forgave them. And they decided to move to Egypt. Famine only lasted 5 years. But they got stuck in Egypt and they stayed. And this is where we pick up our story. So Exodus chapter 1, I'm going to start reading at verse 6, and we're going to read up to verse 22. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar, with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, when you're helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not want to do what the king of Egypt told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? And the midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They're vigorous and they give birth before the midwives arrive. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. Because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. And then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile. But let every girl live. So let's stop the story there for now. The reason I read this for you is because the story shows us how it happened that Israel got into Egypt and how they got stuck in Egypt and what kept them in Egypt. But maybe it also tells us how we get stuck in our Egypt. Because it is so easy to get stuck there, right? And yes, when we say, how did they stay there and why didn't they get out of Egypt? The first answer will come to mind. It's, well, Pharaoh kept them there. They couldn't get out. That's true on one level. But I'd like to share three dynamics with you that we find in this story of what robs us of our freedom. What keeps us in Egypt? And the first one, and it'll be there on the screen. Often, what we turn to for security becomes exactly that which holds us in bondage. Think about it. Israel didn't go to Egypt because they wanted to be slaves, right? They went to Egypt because they found security there. They were provided for there. That was what they got away from the famine, so that they could eat and be strong and be okay again. That's why they went there. But then what happened? They settled in Egypt and Egypt became their security. And all was fine and dandy until a new Pharaoh came. And all of a sudden that which was their security became that which held them in bondage. So here's the question. What's your Egypt? What do you turn to for your security? Who do you look to keep your life together? What's your Egypt? Because the problem is this. That which we hold on for, that security, we're sometimes so afraid to lose that, that we cling to that with everything that is in us. And before we know it, we're so strangled in this that we can't get out of this. And I said it right in the beginning when I said fill in the blank. This Egypt can be anything. It can be a bad habit that I just can't or don't want to break. It can be my job. It can be my finances. It can be people that I hang out with that are not good for me. It can be a fear that I carry around. It can be stuff that I'm doing that I know that I shouldn't be doing. What's your Egypt? Michael, you always say, make it practical. There we go. Can we all stand up and say, what's my Egypt? That'll be an interesting morning when we do that, right? The problem with that is that sometimes it becomes such a part of my life that I don't even realize that it's holding me in bondage because this is where I find my security. But here's the thing. You'll never get out of Egypt unless you know what Egypt is. Brings me to the second dynamic. That which holds us bondage always needs our cooperation. Requires me to cooperate with it. Let me take you back to the story. Those two Hebrew midwives, they had no standing, they had no power, they couldn't do anything against the Pharaoh. But when Pharaoh told them, you kill those little boys, what did they do? They said, we're not going to cooperate with you, Pharaoh. We are not going to kill those little boys. And it changed the whole narrative of the Exodus story. When we stop cooperating with that which holds us bondage, it changes our whole story. Because here's the thing. The devil, Satan, call the thing whatever you want. The devil can only work by permission. He has no power over those who are in Jesus Christ. Do you agree with me? He only works by permission. So he'll stand at your door and boy, he'll knock. And he'll yell and he'll do all kinds of antics to try and get you to open the door so he can come in and steal away that freedom and put you in bondage. Can I ask you today, don't give him a chance. Slam the door in his face. It's okay. Because he can only work with permission. So take a stand. Take a stand. Michael, here comes the practical stuff again. If it's your cell phone that keeps you so busy that you never have time for your children and your wife and your family because you're always on that silly thing, turn it off when you get home, please, and put it away. You can breathe without it, I promise you. If it's that work email that always constantly comes in 24/7 and you're always busy with that, and instead of sitting down and having dinner with your family or sitting and watching a TV show, turn it off. You're not supposed to be working 24/7. If it's some or other thing, substance, alcohol, whatever it is, that hurts your life, get it out of your house. Get it away. If it's people that are taking you down the wrong way, take a stand and say, I'm done. I'm not doing this. It can only work with our cooperation. And we have to give it that permission. Don't. The first step of getting to our freedom is not getting out of Egypt. It's not cooperating with Egypt. Third dynamic. God can change a bad thing into the best thing. I'll take you back to the story. So when Pharaoh sees that the midwives are not cooperating with him, he issues this decree to all of his people, and he says, when you see these little Jewish boys being born, you take them and you throw them in the River Nile, and you kill these little boys. Bad thing, right? Horrible thing. And then Moses is born. Just the rest of the story after this. His mother takes him, and she does put him in the River Nile. She puts him in a little basket, though. And when the basket comes past where Pharaoh's daughter is taking a bath, she sees this little boy. She takes him back home. He becomes the grandson of Pharaoh. He grows up in Pharaoh's court. He gets Pharaoh's ear. He knows him as his grandfather. He has this opening into his life. And when God needs someone to change the life of his people, there's Moses. God can change a bad thing into the best thing. And God's well known for that. Ask Joseph. He was sold as a slave, supposed to be a slave. He got the highest position in Egypt. Ask Ruth. She lost her husband. She had no children. She became the one who was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Ask Jesus. He was nailed to a cross, tortured, and died. But on the third day, that bad thing turned into the best thing ever. And Jesus rose from the dead to give us life and to give us freedom. And here's the thing. God wants you to be free. And He'll give that. It doesn't always happen overnight. Not because God can do it, because of us. Because of the stuff that's in our hearts. Because sometimes it gets so stuck in my heart that it doesn't come out. No wonder the word says, be very careful with what goes on in your heart, because it will determine your whole life. It gets stuck in the heart, and it's hard for us to let go. Remember Israel? They were out of Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land. And at some stage they said to Moses, stop the bus. We're going back to Egypt. We don't like this freedom stuff. We like to be in bondage. That's what we do. It sits here because it's not just the stuff from the outside that steals our freedom. It's the stuff that's in here that'll often steal the freedom. It took a few days to get Israel out of Egypt. It took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. So God's going to take us on a journey to get us to that freedom. One day at a time, one step at a time, one small act of surrender at a time. It is for freedom, says Paul, that we have been set free in Christ. So do not become slaves and allow that yoke of slavery to be on your neck. Amen. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the freedom that comes in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And help us, Lord Jesus, to identify this Egypt thing and just place it in your hands. And help us to let go, not to want to go back over and over again. Thank you that you are patient, one step at a time, until we have reached the promised land. Thank you for the freedom that comes in you, Lord Jesus, that we will celebrate in a few moments. In your precious name we pray. Amen.